Thanks for tuning in to the Illuminations Podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I'm your host, Nia Roy. I am a clinical hypnotherapist, graphologist, and a family constellation facilitator here at Illuminations. And just like always, we are back with another episode, with another topic. And this time we have a speaker who's already been on this show before. And last time he talked about relationship dynamics, which was extremely interesting. And this time we have another interesting topic, and it's all about graphology. How to analyze your handwriting and different traits and characteristics about yourself and your behaviors using your own handwriting. So let me first introduce Mr. Rajay Singh to the show. Welcome, sir, once again. He is the founder of Happiness Solutions. He is a clinical hypnotherapist and many more things. So please, please, please welcome, welcome, welcome to the show once
again.
Thank
you, Nia. Thank you so much for this wonderful introduction. My name is Rajay Singh and I'm a quantum hypnotherapist. When we say quantum, which is working with tangible and intangible connections from the body and the mind, as we've always been talking about, that your mind definitely has a direct influence on the way your body is and your brain that processes the information, the inputs which is coming in from the five senses. So when we talk about the five senses, graphology, when we say graphology, it's the graph that your brain is giving out. The extensor and flexor movements is what, as you draw the lines and curves and standing and sleeping lines and, you know, angles, when the moment it comes on a plain paper, you're looking at the entire graph as a doctor looking at the EEG strip to tell you exactly what organ, what part, what brain, what, you know, side of your body is performing or underperforming. So graphology reflects the inner and the outer dynamics in the form of the strokes that are coming on the paper. And we as graphologists or graphotherapists, because when after analysis you apply therapy where you recommend certain change in stroke, it is then called graphotherapy. And by changing the strokes, the way in different sides and thoughts and moods your handwriting changes, the way also breath changes in every emotional state. When you're joyful, there's different breath. There is, you know, depressed when you're differently breathing. When you're in fear, you're differently breathing. When you're elated or joyful, you're differently breathing. So the same way, when you change your breath, your inside chemistry changes. So when you change your handwriting, your inside chemistry and neuroplasticity of the brain is achieved.
Wow. So tell us more about how did this all come about? Like, what is the history of graphology? Let's start from there.
See, when we say history of graphology, no one exactly knows when it started. But in the Indian scriptures, when you go into the Vedic, you know, astrology, there is one Puran called Garuda Puran, where there is part of the graphology which is changing the throat, because everything in the ancient time was through scriptures, which was written in the form of manuscript.
Yeah.
So all these manuscripts had something. We today even have calligraphy, for example.
Yeah.
But calligraphy or cursive handwriting or the running handwriting, when we say today in the modern context, is a far more diluted version of the way perhaps we look at it. And in the way the formations, we call it garlands and arcades and formations, where club strokes and felon claws, and there are all these terminologies that we use it in advanced graphology that exactly can tell you how the person is from inside out, the past, present and future completely, you know, that I've been now spending, let's say, a research-based understanding of graphology and strokes. We've been working with psychosomatic diseases as well. So we've recovered, you know, cervical spondylitis, that you can spot it from the graphology. Future ailments and diseases, looking at strokes, you can actually tell that what probable diseases this person will go through.
Wow.
And reversing them completely, because graphology being the science which can actually change and transform the data and content which is coming even from your DNA, you can reverse the ancestral impact of the way you feel and see things. things.
But how does that all come about when you are taught how to write from such a young age? Let's say when you go to school, they teach you how to write in cursive handwritings and so on. So are you saying that we are essentially wired based on what we are taught or how we are taught to write?
Yes. So each one of us have a brain map in terms of how much of space, like there is upper zone, middle zone and the lower zone when we talk about. So, you know, you go back to your nursery school days where those four line, you know, notebooks that we were given in the red and blue format, mm-hmm. where there was the upper, middle and the lower zone that we formed these mm-hmm. letters with A, C, E, M, N coming in the middle zone
yeah.
and the L, B, D, etc. coming in the upper zone, or the J's and, you know, Y's and the G's that comes into the lower zone.
Yeah.
Each zone represent, again, the energy flow that's happening in the body. Extensor is how much of blood which is being pushed away from the heart.
Mm.
Flexor is how much blood is coming back to the heart. So even your organs represent the way you're writing these zones near. And it's really fascinating the way you can also almost predict how much of energy in lower zone, middle zone and the upper zone, which is the lower chakras, the middle chakras and the upper chakras, where the intellectual and spiritual growth you can spot in a person. So this comes in where how a child is trained right from the beginning, the Kurju handwriting of even his intelligence, when they write continuous mm. Kurju handwriting, how intelligent the person will be. And when someone writes non-Kurju, but mm. still in the second lower letters when you write and when it's not connected with each other, this is also the representation of intuition of a child.
Oh, intuition
of his left hand or right hand. There are a lot of mothers I see that, you know, when a child starts writing with the left hand, a lot of mothers, they say, please don't write it with the left hand. And you change your orientation of handwriting through right hand itself. So you're also connecting both the sides of your brain hemispheres. So when you're writing with your left hand, it's also activating your creativity and the right brain.
Mm.
And when you're writing with your right hand, which is also connected with your left brain. So when the split brain theory, when you talk about the neurons are crisscrossing in the hind brain, where the right side of your brain governs the left side of your body and the left side of your brain governs the right side of the body. So how are you writing? Even in religion format, when we go where the Arabic is written from right to left and the English or, you know, other languages, when you write, it's written left to right. So there is also science behind it.
So
how you're orienting left to right and right to left.
So let's get into, I'm really curious about this. So let's get into the nitty gritty. So let's start with writing from left to right and right to left. What does that indicate?
No. So when you're, let's understand in Arabic, when you're going from right to left,
mm-hmm.
for example, it's also connecting and moving from your left brain slowly to the right, you know, side, left side mm. of your body, as I said, no? So when you're going to towards the left side of the body, it's also activating your right brain, intuition, spiritual side, and a whole lot of all these. Whereas in India, when we write from, you know, the left of the page to the right, you're also activating your sharpness, focus, you know, all of this. And there are people who write ambidextrous, a lot of people. I am, in terms of drawing patterns, I'm ambidextrous. So I've practiced it over a period of time. So this tells you how your left and right brain, because when you make a decision, both the sides of your brain make an equal choice where the logic meets intuition.
Yeah.
So when you are with both the sides, when you practice, and it's a neuroplasticity or a neuropathway, when the way we say it, you can practice it to write with both the hands in a certain way.
Yeah.
And that will give you a tremendous amount of balance of logic and intuition, both the sides coming together.
So let's look at how accurate is this. So how accurate is graphology in general?
A good practitioner, and, you know, I'll tell you, while learning the technical side in the formation, there is also a certain element of intuition that comes in. So that is where we even teach at Illuminations when we say, you've taught one mm-hmm. batch recently. So when we say the basic understanding is first about slants, about the spacing, about the pressure that you put it, about the right slant, left slant. The more the right slant goes, the person is more extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
And the more the left slant goes, you know, the person is an introvert, thinking about self first. Or when you're seeing the smaller size of the handwriting compared to the bigger side. So this person focuses on the smaller aspects and the minutest of the details when the person's handwriting is smaller. And, mm-hmm. You know, certain people, they look at only at the macro traits. You know,
mm-hmm.
there are different schools of graphology that we follow. So there is a European format and style of graphology, and there is American style and format of graphology, but there is also an Indian style of graphology and handwriting that we follow, which purely goes into intuition, because your graphology and handwriting carries also your energy imprint.
Wow. So it's all I imagine there's like this whole psychology behind how you, let's say, draw certain lines and curves and so on. So let's go into traits. What kind of traits can you really read from a handwriting?
No, aggressive person, lying person, deception, you know, money stinginess when we talk about relationship, generosity, absent-mindedness, mm-hmm. depth, emotional sensitivity. Even in terms of, as I said, that even organs, you can almost see that how much of energy is going in the eyes or the way the throat is doing or the way the gut is doing, and anxiety strokes and, you know, clinical strokes when we go into how much the person is in the body. So mindfulness, you can see. You can also see the presence of trauma where, you know, at a certain level where maybe someone has been through a trauma will have very faded thread-like strokes coming up on the paper. Mm-hmm. And there will not be any pressure or energy in hands and the muscles to also display in the formations in the paper.
Right.
So we actually look at all these traits, micro and macro both, and a certain element of intuition to see a diagnostic tool. Mm-hmm. That's why the first level for those therapists who want to understand and learn this science, it actually serves as a good diagnostic tool.
Mm.
And from diagnosis to seeing the traits, because there are times when clients come to us, Nia, where they do not want to tell you the real truth about their life. So how to unlock those areas of their life and straight come to the point so that they also don't beat around the bush where... Maybe a journey that you would have to build trust and rapport. In the first session, they will tell you the darkest of the truth about their life, which you can right away see it, like relationship areas, money areas, you know, how deep the person thinks, how many perhaps relationships and affairs that they've had.
How many?
In terms of how many, yeah. Because it's intuition, because yeah. Then when you look into their eyes and you tell them, because there are specific formation when you see it in Y's and G's. G stands for, you know, the money aspects of a person's life. So you specifically look at G as a lower zone letter, how materialistic or how, insecure the person is compared to insecurity in relationship area with the letter Y that we see.
Mm.
How you're completing the Y letter, where the lower loop going up or just being incomplete in a certain formation, it tremendously gives you insights into the depths of the person's behavior and even soul composition at times.
So what about in the cases where, you know, your handwriting keeps changing? So depending on the pen you use, depending 100%. on the day and the time, sometimes it's very neat, sometimes it's all messy. Why does that happen, and how can you really analyze that?
Yeah. So a lot of people come to us and they think, oh, they inhibit showing their handwriting because it's very messy or it keeps changing, or they've scribbled through the page. A lot of mistakes when they make, everything has a behavioral association. So when your handwriting keeps changing, which means also there is a part of you that is swinging into different side of moods, you know. So there are a lot of mood swings, and sometimes you think about yourself, sometimes you think about others. We've even spotted migraine, cervical spondylitis, acidity, hypertension, throat issues, arthritis. All of these issues, you can see it in the handwriting when a person comes with all these kind of scribblings and stuff. Like, for example, if I tell you scribbling. If a person makes a mistake and only strikes it once, for example, this is a person who makes a mistake and accepts that mistake and doesn't blame himself or herself. When someone writes a letter and makes a mistake and then scribbles it to hide it, now this person also is facing difficulty to forgive. So this person doesn't allow himself or herself to make mistakes.
Oh, wow.
There is fear of failure that you see, what we call it pastosity. So the more the pastosity, the person also will have tendency to not accept or blame or self-harm at times on the mistake that they make. At times, people also use whiting. So if I let's say made a mistake and a person actually has a tape or a white, you know, that point pen that comes in and they write it again after putting that ink, are the people who were not allowed to make mistakes. So whenever they made a mistake, perhaps in their childhood, they were punished.
Oh, wow.
So that rigid they are when not to make a mistake that they ensure.
Oh, that's,
and
that's,
this affects their attitude, behavior, and bodily issues.
So yeah. Tell us a little bit more about how can we identify anger, for instance?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, let's start with different emotions and let's go with that.
No, so different emotion that I say, see, anger, we express it. Anger is the effect. Again, if you focus on anger, then there are at least in one letter you can find 30 formations spotting what sort of core that an anger you know, that brings about in a person. So there is anger of, let's say, in terms of being taken for granted, being not listened to, or being bullied or controlled by somebody, and all of that. So there are different combination of strokes that we see in here. Especially there is one particular stroke of impatience. We see it in club stroke, for example.
Club These stroke are the, is when
the fading strokes, where it starts with a point but it ends it in a kind of a, you know, comet tail.
So like it kind of fades away.
It fades away in the paper. And in what direction is it fading away? Is it going upward when you're making it in a certain letter? So everything will have
a specific meaning
to it. And then that a good graphologist or a handwriting analyst will look into these and tell you exactly that the aggression is in the career side, aggression is in being lied about in a relationship side. Is it a trust issue? Is it some kind of a result that is not achieved and I tend to give up sort of a part? All of these are the traits that you look at. It's not just one trait specific.
It's a combination.
It's a combination.
This is where the intuitive part comes 100%. Into play as well. So
all
you're not
the alphabets also stand for something very, very unique. As I said, you know, G is for money, Y is for relationship areas. Like that, there are all these 23, 26 alphabets that we look at the formations. There are different meanings to each alphabet, the way you're forming it.
And the different combinations of it all, and how you bring them together and what that actually means.
Exactly.
So you can even validate certain characteristics by looking at different...
So anger can completely be understood from what am I seeking? Because anger usually comes when I'm expecting something and I don't get it. So how much of impulsiveness, how much of compulsiveness... how much of obsessiveness? Because these are the different stages of anger that you go through, isn't it? So impulsiveness is something which I wanted right here, right now. And when I don't get it, then I will tend to shoot up in a certain way. So that's a trait specific, formation that we go into.
So what about relationships? So how do you, I know you mentioned earlier that, you can tell if someone's cheating, how many girlfriends or boyfriends they've had. So how do you look into compatibility?
So couple compatibility, as last episode when we did it together, we spoke a lot about relationships. So when I see at least on an average 8 to 10 couples meeting me every month, just to understand, because see, two differently conditioned people when they come together, how much of trauma, how much of inhibition, how much of problem, what the way they are handling money, how they are communicating, their self-expression areas, or when their intimacy areas, when they are comparing with each other, there are a lot of fears and insecurities that you come together with in a relationships. So graphology is then a kind of a, like astronomical matchmaking. This is a psychological matchmaking that you can do it, and a behavioral matchmaking, almost looking at the traits that how compatible both of them will be. So for example, one person has gone through tremendous amount of impatience and aggression, almost like narcissist, sort of strokes that you come across, because we do offer graphology curriculum like a level one that we've started teaching now at Illuminations, and there's an advanced level. So at least between two levels, one should do 100 samples.
Wow.
Minimum.
Yeah.
You know, by the time you also think about coming into the module two, because module two is going to be tremendous amount of information. So when you go into sexual intimacy, sexual dysfunctions, couple compatibility, money areas, clinically depressed people, whether they've had such a history or not in the clinical side, when anxiety strokes come in, people with anxiety also tend to display their anger in a certain way. They become almost a narcissist sort of a thing. What kind of relationship they've had with their parents, especially when they write an identity I, how much of focus that they put it. Each letter can be written in at least 15 to 37, 38 types, where we see some of these formations. And each letter will have that unique interpretation. Yeah. It's not that easy. You have to dive deep into the personalities, which you've started with, this journey. And I'm glad that I think we've also met that was the first workshop that you did with me.
Yeah, exactly.
and today we've come a long way, where 100%. We've actually started offering this whole thing. I'm so excited to also bring this every time when you're signing. Let's say only graphology, which is the running format. When we take a sample, we deliberately take that sample on a white paper, plain, with a ballpoint pen. Okay, we don't take a micro tip pen or an ink pen. That's also another thing that you mentioned. Thank you. Because ballpoint pen is something where how much of flow that is happening, because that carries exactly the amount of pressure with which you write on paper. That also signifies
a lot. It says a lot as well.
Yes. So we always take a ballpoint pen and a paper, which is A4 sheet, and we write only one side. We don't write back.
Both, because so you can see the pressure.
So all those, viewers who are watching this podcast and would want to come and take a consultation with Nia or me whenever, please bring in your handwriting for 1.5 pages and bring written sample with ballpoint, and then we will analyze it 30 minutes knowing everything about yourself.
Yeah, so that's something that no one can run away from, because I think it's the coolest way of mind reading.
Yeah, it's like your x-ray. When you go to a doctor and doctor says, I want to see your organ and the structure inside, give me an x-ray.
Yeah.
You bring this 1.5 pages of sample handwriting, and this is like an x-ray, your signature, the way you write your formations, everything will tell you about your past, present and future. So that is why we are here.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we end this episode, could you tell us certain tips or advice on how we can improve certain areas of our life just by changing certain letters or formations?
Yeah. See, there are formations, especially the T, for example. T represents, if you ask me, which is the most significant letter, sir, if I have to work with or suggest, there are two letters I would recommend. When you write a capital I, which is the identity I, the upper line represents your relationship with your mother and how the mother's and your connection has been. And the lower, the bar that we put it is the relationship with your father. And the vertical letter that you write is exactly the letter which is representing you
yourself,
as an identity. So when people don't put the upper and the lower letter and they just write only the I as a vertical line, these are the people who don't like taking help. They want to create an identity all by themselves. They are their own support system. So I always say, whether you want an acknowledgement or you acknowledge your parents or not, but write a complete I as an identity.
Mm.
That's your also, how your past has been around your parents. Because again, in relationship areas, when I spoke about, I said mother's areas reflect upon your relationship side and the father's imbalances that you've had reflects in your professional side. So when we look at this identity I, that's the first recommendation that we give it to people, where please change this. And the other letter is T. T signifies your goals, how ambitious you are, because it's an upper zone letter, and how the crossbar, lower or higher that you put it, how much unrealistic expectations that you have with yourself and the environment, how the stroke is coming up, is it fading or is it not? So I and T are the most significant letters you write, where a nice, loopy, flexible, curvy T that you write, or an edgy T that you write, or only a satanic, like a cross like T.
So there's no curves in the bottom. It's almost cross, like a cross.
When you put it, that's again aggressiveness.
Right.
That represents.
So. And I think I'm pretty sure a lot of people would also be curious to know, how can you tell if someone were to cheat on you or if someone's going to be faithful or not?
That we see it in 3 or 4 different formations. So there are specific formations that we talk about, especially in O, the way the loop is coming out. If there is a loop within the loop.
Mm.
That loop is also deception, and which direction it is going. So there are different formations, whether it's going inwards or an outward.
So you know
the degree of deception and how much this person is lying. Or maybe it's not even lying. Sometimes they don't tell you the whole truth.
Mm.
So they'll tell you as much as you need to know. And then you have to investigate and probe. So that is what even your clients are doing.
Yeah.
So after seeing the handwriting, probing for the therapist to get deeper into, from a surface structure to the deep structure, graphology and handwriting analysis is a must have a known science.
Could you please share any client stories or success stories that you've had with handwriting?
Yes, I came across, this is one of my landmark cases that I've done, just with a Parkinson's case that I did it near. A 35, 38-year boy, compulsively alcoholic, over a period of time, completely dissociated, depressed, on meds, could not even drink, hold bottle and drink water or eat with his own hands. And when I took his handwriting sample, usually I show this in my trainings. In the first session, when he wrote, because you usually give a sample, he said, but what's the use? I'm not able to write properly. I said, just write whatever that you can.
Mm.
And from a complete disjoint, completely scattered and dissociated handwriting sample, he could not even write 1.5 pages. I started doing sessions with him, and these were all online sessions that I did with him. 6 sessions, he was completely in the body. 99% of his trembling stopped.
Oh my.
All his Parkinson's and trembling hand that, you know, I call this client a trembling hands client. Where, because his father used to get upset about him, and he was a coder. So even on the keyboard, he's not able to write, you know.
Yeah.
And he's going through tremendous amount of stress. And when we did, while working with hypnotherapy, that's why quantum hypnotherapy brings in the elemental side where you completely align your body and brain. And he practiced it for nearly 3 months. Because there are certain traits on a behavioral side or habit side, you want to do it 21 days if you write journals or if you write an affirmation. Writing is important.
Mm.
You know, all those people who again are watching this podcast where you're not writing on daily basis, you're too much into keyboards or even phone,
yeah,
moving your thumb. Please bring in your element of writing where your muscles can be trained for all the traits. So you can come and meet me at JLT and Abu Dhabi. You can come and meet me. I'm there at Ream Island, where we will actually tell you what strokes you can change and you can make a difference in your life.
Yeah. So thank you so much, sir, for joining us again. And this was so insightful, as always. So before we end the show, any last words, tips, advice?
Yeah, so keep writing journals so that before you go off to sleep, uh-huh, whatever that is there and bothering you, as if you're venting it out and as if you're letting it go, write a journal every night and keep improving your handwriting and formations. Come meet us. We'll tell you what formations will help you. Take an appropriate, you know, kind of an affirmation that works for you. And of course, you can reverse your entire personality, and it's a given that you'll be able to make that difference.
Thank you so much to everyone who is listening to us, watching us. I hope this was extremely insightful and helpful. So stay tuned for our next episode. Until then, stay safe and live light.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.